The title of the sermon today is Living and Walking in the Spirit. Living and walking in the Spirit. And our scripture text is found in Romans chapter 8. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, we'll be reading verses 5 through 16. And we have it, of course, on the PowerPoint overhead for you as well. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. What great words from the Word of God. What a great reminder for you and me about the power and the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's another important scripture, Galatians 5 and 25, that really summarizes this whole sermon. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The title of the sermon, Living and Walking in the Spirit. About 18 years ago, I was in Oklahoma attending meetings at the bank holding company, in which my bank in Dallas was a part of this bank holding company that was based in Oklahoma. It was Southwest Bank Shares. And after the meeting was over in Oklahoma City, I was anxious to get back home here into McKinney. But as I was driving back out of Oklahoma City, I felt just an irresistible urge to make a little detour and drive over to Shawnee, Oklahoma, which was due east of Oklahoma City, to visit my dad's sister, my Aunt Jewel, and her son, Doug, who was a young man then, but he had Down syndrome. And they were living together still in Shawnee, Oklahoma. I wanted to get home. I was anxious. I'd been in meetings for several days. You know that feeling, you want to get home. But I just couldn't help this sense that I really, really needed to drop by and visit with my aunt for a few minutes. I really felt the Holy Spirit leading me to do that. My Aunt Jewel, who had always lived a very wonderful Christian life, in fact, she had often been one of the strongest, spiritually speaking, of the six children of my grandparents. She'd always been faithful to the local church and faithful to serve Jesus. And as I came into her home that day and we began to visit, suddenly Aunt Jewel just broke down in tears and she began to cry. This woman of great faith who had served the Lord, had known the Lord all those years, was now weeping and crying and questioning if she was really saved, if she was really going to go to heaven. And you could just feel that burden and that sadness in her. She was crying and sharing with me just honestly how she felt. Well, that afternoon, I took her Bible and I shared with her through the Word of God scriptures that would encourage her and bless her and help her. And it was so obvious to me that the enemy of our souls was attempting to take away her joy and her peace and to take away the promises of God that had comforted her for many, many years. And as I prayed with her and I encouraged her with the scriptures, and it was almost as if this dark veil just lifted from her heart and spirit, and suddenly she was crying, but she was crying with tears of joy and a certainty that Christ was her Savior, that her home would be heaven, and that the Holy Spirit was just ministering to her. You could just see that ministry of the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. And at that point, that time of having a moment of prayer together, I knew that Jesus and His Holy Spirit was ministering to her, and I knew that that sense what I needed to do was to drive to Shawnee instead of driving home was indeed directed by God's Holy Spirit for me to be obedient, to follow through on that. There are many, many divine appointments awaiting for all of us. There are so many divine appointments waiting for us if we would just learn to walk and live in the Spirit and be led by His Holy Spirit. This ideal of walking and living in the Spirit, it should be our constant aim. It should be our constant desire and experience as a believer in Jesus Christ as our Savior. I remind all of us today that the Holy Spirit was given to the church and He has not been withdrawn. He is still ministering and touching lives. In the 7th chapter of Romans, Paul goes on to talk about how the flesh and the spirit are always at war, how they're always doing battle, contending with each other. This is a familiar scripture in Romans 7 and 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. What's he saying? He said, I want to do the right thing. I want to do what's right. I want to do what's good. And the very thing that I want to do, I'm not doing. And the thing that I hate, going against God and sinning, that's the very thing I'm doing. It's an honest expression, isn't it? Some of you have been there. Some of you admit that, wouldn't you? That the thing that you don't want to do, you're doing and you know it's wrong. And the thing that you desire to do before God, it seems like it's impossible to do. It's that struggle. It's that spiritual battle, that lifelong battle with the things of the world, the things of the flesh, the things of the devil in us battling against what God desires by His Holy Spirit to make us more and more like Jesus. That's God's plan for us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. There are moments in all of our lives when we grow a little weary. We get discouraged with that struggle. We begin to even have doubts, like my Aunt Jewel, doubting our salvation, doubting our Savior. But I will tell you that even in the midst of those doubts, that struggle is a part of what is our Christian life on this earth. That's why we must reach out and depend on the Holy Spirit to live and to walk in the Spirit. And that is the only way we will overcome those moments of the flesh of leading us to live an unholy life instead of the holy life that Jesus has for us. And so I would just say this morning, practically speaking, how do we live in the Spirit? How do we walk in the Spirit? How do we overcome the desires of the flesh? It begins with a matter of our will, with a deliberate decision to allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit, to desire that every single day. The word led indicates that we should continuously surrender and yield ourselves. We should surrender and yield ourselves to the leading and the desires of the Spirit, and His leading is always diametrically opposed to the desire of the flesh and the desires of the things that's contrary to the Word of God. It's our surrender to the Spirit's leading. It's an act of our will. We make a choice every day. Will I surrender? Well, I would desire to be led, to hear from God, to be led by His Holy Spirit, and to say yes to the Holy Spirit and not to the desires of what I want, what I think matters. But let's be real clear this morning. We allow the Holy Spirit to influence us. We allow the Holy Spirit to direct us and empower us. If we don't do that, we are going to just be living in the flesh, and we will never overcome those things in the flesh unless we're making that surrender and allowing the leading of the Holy Spirit in ways that will amaze you, in ways that will just delight you and give you joy. If you're being led by the Holy Spirit every single day, it will transform your thinking. It'll transform your expectations. It'll transform your desires. It will renew your mind, your thoughts, your desires. Everything will change. By the way, that process is working inside out. It starts on the inside. It's not simply changing our outside or our external behaviors, but it's changing the source of those behaviors, which is in our spirit, our mind, and our hearts. Renewed minds produce renewed thinking, renewed values, renewed attitudes, renewed desires, renewed motives, renewed behaviors. How are our minds renewed? Our minds are renewed by the power of the Word of God and His Holy Spirit in us. At the very deepest level, we begin to experience a new power and a new affection. A new affection. I can remember praying as a young boy in our church at Urban Park Assembly of God in Pleasant Grove, and just the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon me in the prayer and the altars, being filled with the Holy Spirit. I can remember getting up and this sense of just love for everybody, a love that I had never felt so strongly and so supernaturally. I mean, I was hugging my sister, and that's supernatural, I'm going to tell you right now. Because we were always fighting, you know, but I loved her and I felt that love for her. I still do love her. Our hearts will increasingly grow to appreciate God's grace when we're led by the Spirit. Our minds will increasingly desire God's will and His ways and His plans more than our desires for pleasure and sin that always want to take hold of us and get us redirected. Look at these words with me this morning. Our need for Him, the Holy Spirit, and the awakening and the refreshing that He brings should become the desire and passion of us all. Let me ask you, is that your desire and passion today? To be led by the Spirit? To be awakened and refreshed by the Spirit? Our greatest priority on this earth should be that we attempt to put our lives at His disposal, so that if He wills to use us, that we are there to be used. We are those vessels saying, oh Lord, fill me with Your Spirit. Lead me by Your Spirit. Let me be the vessel led by the Spirit as I walk in the Spirit. So let's visit a little bit further today about what the Bible tells us about the Holy Spirit. We're not going to get through all of it in this sermon today, so I'm going to do a part two sermon next week, but today we just begin by looking at the awesome power and the cleansing fire of the Holy Spirit. The words used to describe what happened on the day of Pentecost are those words of wind and fire. The Bible reminds us in the book of Acts, the sound as of a rushing mighty wind was audible to them. It also says that tongues of fire that sat upon each of them were visible to them. So those 120 folks sitting in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, they heard and they could see the evidence of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as a rushing mighty wind filled that room and tongues of fire set upon each of them. There have been many through the ages and even today who can testify of experiences where you are in a prayer meeting or a prayer group or a church service where there just seemed to be this visible physical presence, though you couldn't see it, you knew in your spirit that God's Holy Spirit was ministering to you and ministering to those in that place. That God just literally invaded that place of worship. That God's Holy Spirit took over and with specific touching and leading and ministering and helping those in prayer. What a wonderful thing that is when the Holy Spirit moves. What we as believers may experience, what we may experience by the power and by the presence of the Holy Spirit sometimes by others outside is minimized as just being emotional. Oh, that's just a bunch of emotionalism. I never was in a church like that. That's just emotionalism. Do you remember what happened on the day of Pentecost? As they begin to pray and worship as God fills them with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that people outside heard them and it says, they're drunk. They're drunk with wine. They've been drinking. That's all that is. It's just emotions. They're just drunk. They weren't drunk, were they? They were full of the power of the Holy Spirit. The entire appeal, the entire effect of the Holy Spirit on us personally is our mind, our imagination, our will, our emotions, our spirit. It's all of us. The Holy Spirit touches every part of us when we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been in a meeting or worship service where the Holy Spirit absolutely you knew was in that place ministering and touching lives? Have you ever been praying? And as you prayed, you felt that supernatural closeness. You felt the nearness of the Holy Spirit as if He was taking the initiative with us, as He was reaching out to us to minister to us. Oh, what a precious, wonderful thing that is. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt the Holy Spirit had business with you? He was trying to get your attention. He had business with you. He hadn't just come, but He had come for something. If you notice what I'm saying. I remember there's some incredible stories in Dr. Ernie Martin's book of his life story and ministries. There's some miracles in his story, some things that he and Jan were involved in ministry, where he was out reaching out through street ministry and on parking lots of facilities nearby. And the power, the literal power of the Holy Spirit was falling and filling and touching and saving people's lives. What a great manifestation of the presence of the Holy Spirit that we can still have in our lives if we just learn to live and walk in the Spirit. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is referenced nearly 300 times. And the word that is constantly used in association with the Holy Spirit is power. The Holy Spirit seems to mix and mingle His power with our own power. So what happens is that it's not only a heightening of our own power, but it's the awareness of that gift of power from outside. It's an awareness of that gift of power from God by His Holy Spirit that empowers us. Have you felt that before? Have you experienced that as the power of God reaches in and touches you? It's not at all surprising that at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was manifested through tongues of fire and the rush of wind. He's also often symbolically referenced as a dove. That's why I love the painting behind me of the dove representing the Holy Spirit. I remember years ago when Rebecca painted that painting for us. You may remember, some of you that were with us, we moved into this church. There was nothing in that circle. The church before had taken the stained glass out, so it was just a big circle up there. So we had Salina Glass Company come and measure that surrounding and make a large piece of clear glass. That's just a piece of clear glass. And Rebecca sat down in one of our rooms here at the church over a period of several weeks and painted that, made it look like stained glass. She did a beautiful job. We had several different decisions to make what we wanted on that stained glass. I'm so glad we decided on that dove that represents the power of God's Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. You know, you speak of the Holy Spirit, fire is often associated with a symbolism of the Holy Spirit. It was on the day of Pentecost. Fire warms what is cold, doesn't it? Fire illuminates what is dark. Fire purifies what is impure. Earth and air and water, oh, they remain constant. They remain the same. Oh, but fire is never the same, even for a few seconds. The power and the mobility of the Holy Spirit are symbolized also by fire. But we must remember that fire also burns and consumes, and it also destroys. The fire of the Holy Spirit cleanses so that nothing remains in us that's not pleasing to God. Nothing remains other than what is wonderful and right before God. That's the work of the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit in us. This scripture in Acts, you're familiar with, Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. We need His Holy Spirit power when we're lonely. We need His power when we feel weak. We need His power when we feel defeated. We need the Holy Spirit's power when we feel like we just can't go on. We need His power when we want to just give up. Oh, we need His power when we face a situation that seems impossible. We need the Holy Spirit power every day of our lives until Jesus comes. We need it. We can't make it on our own. We can't make it on our own intellect. We can't make it on our own strength. If we try to live this Christian life without the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit, without His power, we will always fail. Because it must be by God's hand. It must be by God's power, His Holy Spirit in us. When we purpose to walk in the Spirit, to live by the leading of the Spirit, then we learn to depend on Him. To depend on His power, depend on everything that He wants to put in us by the Word of God and by the work of the Spirit. Our lives, you think about it, as we're trusting and leading, let the Holy Spirit lead us, and we're trusting for that leading in our lives become full of a Holy Spirit-inspired passion. Think about this for a minute. When we're truly being led by the Spirit, our lives become full of a Holy Spirit-inspired passion to know Jesus more intimately. Where does that come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit in us. We become more full of the Holy Spirit, and as we become more inspired, then we want to win others to Jesus. Full of a Holy Spirit-inspired life, then we desire to be led by the Spirit, to hear the voice of the Spirit. We come to expect divine appointments. We become to expect that God has certain events and circumstances and appointments with others that He is going to arrange. If we'll just be led by Him, we can say a kind word or a word of encouragement or help somebody in need at just the right time by leading of the Holy Spirit in us. Divine appointments. I know a lot of folks say, well, that's just a coincidence. You ever been in those situations? Well, it's just a coincidence. It's a divine appointment many times if we would just recognize it and see that the Holy Spirit has brought us to that point. Our scripture text in Romans, in fact, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, it tells us that where we set our minds is according to how and where we live. In other words, our priorities. What you're thinking about most of the time is what is your priority. So how often are you thinking about the things of God? How often are you thinking about the lost? How often are you thinking about somebody that needs your help? How often are you thinking about, I need to yield myself and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and be led by the Spirit? The Bible says that those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So what are you mostly thinking about? We should ask ourselves that question, shouldn't we? What are our thoughts mostly focused on? Is it on the things of God? Is it on the leading of the Holy Spirit? Or is it just the stuff of this world? Everything but Jesus. That happens, doesn't it? We get busy, we're doing things, and we're thinking about and working on and focusing on everything else but Jesus. By the way, the Bible calls that being carnally minded instead of being spiritually minded. Carnally minded. There's a lot of folks that, a lot of believers, a lot of folks that are saying they're Christians. They're carnally minded with very little thought of the Spirit, very little thought of eternal matters, except when they attend church. It's kind of like they flip the switch on, well, I'm in church now. But we're told that carnally minded is death. And to be spiritually minded is peace and life. So it's no wonder that so many churches are full of believers that don't have real peace and don't have a real sense of God's presence, because they only are in that mindset one day a week when they go to church on Sunday, and the rest of the time their minds are on everything else but the things of God. Walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, that's God's will for you today. Are you aware of that? That is the will of God for every one of us in this room. Verse 11 tells us, the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Did y'all hear that? The Spirit. Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and me. When we are born again, when we receive Christ as our Savior, our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit. That same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and in me. As we walk in the Spirit, as we become more aware of our lofty position as joint heirs with Christ, we'll be so full of the joy of the Lord and the confidence that God is with us. People I know who experience true adventure of faith are continually seeking and finding meanings and connections and signs. Are you hearing what I'm saying right now? Let me just make sure everybody's awake for a minute. People that I know that experience the true adventure of faith are continually seeking and finding meanings and connections and signs in events that other people don't see at all. Is that making sense to what I'm saying to you today? Now, there are some folks that get a little bit overboard in that, okay? That get a little bit too carried afar. They're trying to see meaning and sign in every little silly thing that happens in life, and they kind of go overboard, okay? And maybe that's a little bit too much. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather be a little bit overboard. I'd rather live that kind of a life than be one who never seems to tune in, who never seems to understand or look for or hear the voice of the Spirit in our daily living. As we learn to live in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit, we begin to think of the Holy Spirit as an abiding person. You ever think that way? He's the third person of the Trinity, is he not? It's not a thing, it's a he, the Holy Spirit. He's an abiding person that governs and helps all of our thoughts and actions, and the entirety of our Christian life should be a life in the Spirit. For those of us that really desire to be led by the Spirit, there should be no shortcuts. We should pursue intimacy with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We should take time to engage in prayer, meditation, and fellowship with other believers in the place of worship. We should pause to invite the Holy Spirit to lead us every day in the midst of every real life situation. Just pause and say, oh, Holy Spirit, be with me, guide me. Is there something here I'm missing? Show it to me, lead me. One morning, a blind woman was walking with her seeing eye dog. It was a beautiful golden retriever. And as she walked, being led by her dog, a few steps ahead, a car was blocking the path that they normally walked. Well, at that moment, the dog paused and gently pressed his shoulder against the woman's leg, signaling her to turn aside so they could get around the car. Of course, she's blind, she can't see it. Well, she normally followed the dog's lead, but that day she didn't seem to trust him. She had walked this route many times before, she knew this route very well, and she knew this wasn't the normal place where she would turn. Well, whatever the cause, she wouldn't move to the side and instead gave the signal to the dog to move ahead. Again, he pressed against her leg, trying to guide her to a safe path. And she angrily ordered the dog to go forward. And when the dog declined, her temper flared. When the dog once more put his shoulder against her leg to get her to move, she kicked the dog. And then she impulsively stepped forward and bumped square into the car that was in front of her. Reaching out to feel that shape in front of her, she immediately realized what had happened and what the dog was trying to do. She dropped to her knees and she threw her arms around that dog and began to speak sobbing words into his ear. The problem was that she had trusted in her own instincts, in her own understanding. And her own instincts and her own understanding was incomplete, wasn't it? She had not fully surrendered to the direction and vision of her faithful friend, that dog. You might could say she had a divided heart, partially trusting in the dog and partially relying on her own impulses. It's the same with us, isn't it? You see where the story is going. You see the example we're making. We consider our own thoughts, our own understanding, our own intellect, our own insight sometimes superior to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Inside we're saying, no, I've got this. I know what the correct decision is. I know the right steps to take here. While all the time the Holy Spirit is urging us, nudging us like that dog nudging her leg, gently trying to redirect and guide us. And unfortunately, sometimes we stubbornly walk right into situations like the blind woman did with the car in front of her. We stubbornly walk into situations that aren't the will of God. And then we cry out to God for His help, don't we? Romans 12:1, Paul exhorts the church, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Oh, if we haven't done this, if we haven't done what this word says, it means that we still have a divided heart. We've got one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world, so to speak. We're of two minds. We want the blessings of God, but we refuse to fully yield to God. I will say no to sin as far as we find it agreeable to say no to sin, but we'll rationalize and we'll make excuses about our sins. Sins of resentment, sins of unforgiveness, sins of hard feelings, sins of saying it's somebody else's fault and it just can't be avoided. And then we deceive ourselves into thinking that God understands that we're weak on these matters and that He'll be satisfied if we just do our best within our own flesh, so to speak, which is to presume that God will always be satisfied with our compromise. And He's not. Or that He'll be satisfied with our partial obedience. And He's not. Or He'll be satisfied with our half-hearted commitment. And He's never satisfied with that. God knows that we're weak. He knows it better than we do, doesn't He? And He has made a provision for our weakness. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit to help us to overcome our weakness. There's a big difference between the Spirit residing in us, which is true of all born-again believers, isn't it? There's a big difference of the Spirit residing in us and the Spirit reigning in us. Can you see that difference? There's a big difference. The Spirit is ready and willing and eager to reign in our lives, but His power is blocked until we fully surrender God. Once we fully surrender our will in our lives, we yield them to God, and the Spirit will take place of all that stuff and fill us and lead us, and it will begin to change our lives. Can we say that we're full of the Spirit when we sometimes show so few of the fruits of the Spirit? The fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. You know these verses well. The fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, is long-suffering, is kindness, is goodness, is faithfulness, is gentleness, is self-control. Can we say that we're fully full of the Spirit when none of those wonderful things, those wonderful expressions of the Holy Spirit are evident in our individual lives? It's really unfortunate that the most fiery aspect of faith in God can just be cooled down to ashes. And that what happens when men aren't actively and passionately seeking to know Jesus and to walk in the Spirit, what happens is our actual spirit begins to cool down, so to speak, and not have that flame of fire and passion of wanting to draw closer to Jesus and to know Him better and to walk in His Spirit. You know, sometimes it's like living in a house. And the house is wired for electricity, and the electricity comes to the house, and it's all connected, but there's no cooling from the air conditioning unit. There's no lights on. There's nothing that's on in the house because the switch is turned off and the power cords are all unplugged. That's kind of like a Christian that's not willing to surrender to the power and leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The electricity is there. The presence of the Spirit is there. But we just got it all turned off because we think we know best because we can do it on our own. We live our lives every day just kind of going through our routine, what we want to do, rather than surrendering to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you this morning, let's turn on the switch. Let's turn on that switch. Let's plug into His power. Let's learn to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Let's live each day. Let's make a commitment, a fresh commitment. I'm going to live every day asking the Holy Spirit to lead me. And I want to live in the presence of God and His Holy Spirit and walk and live in that Spirit. Would you make that prayer with me today? Oh, Heavenly Father, we surrender today. We surrender to Your Holy Spirit. We surrender, we yield to You. Help us get ourselves out of the way. Help us have that sense of need that we can't make it without You. We can't make it without Your Holy Spirit. Come and minister to us. Fill us again and again by the power of Your Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. Let us live in the Spirit. And let the fruit of the Spirit be evident in every part of our lives every day. Make us over by Your power and Your Spirit, Father. Let that hunger, let that desire, let us have an understanding that there's more, so much more in our lives if we'll just yield to that leading of the Spirit. Thank You, Father. And all these things, we praise You and we give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.